Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good morning and happy Sunday. This is Sherry Veronica. Today is Sunday, September 25, 2016, and it is Sundays with Charlie Spice. In today's episode, we wanted to talk about, and for anyone who did not hear the show last Sunday, we talked about the effects of child abuse or any kind of abuse on young children. And a lot of those particular children growing up and turning to the service industry, the prostitution, to make a living because they are damaged. But today is the flip side of what we talked about last week. Today we will talk about service providers, prostitutes, whatever they want to call themselves, who actually enjoy prostituting. They like that way of making money. And let me introduce you to Charlie Spice and welcome him into the studio. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Veronica. Thank you again for inviting me into your studio on your talk show. I'm all week I look forward to today. You know, someone said to me, how can you go on Naked Departure on Sunday morning and talk about sex? You know what? I talk about sex anytime, any day. I'm the same every day, unlike people who commit ungodly acts during the week and run to church and beg for forgiveness. I'm the same every day. Anyway, we talked also about human trafficking, not just child sex abuse, but we talked about human trafficking as one of the contributors to people being involved in the sex industry. But there's a whole new side to this. There are many people who get involved in the sex industry purposefully and deliberately and willfully, consciously get involved in the sex industry because they know how much money they can make. They know stories of women or men who got cars as gifts, who got houses, trips around the world, five-star hotels. This actually happens on a daily basis in the industry. They also know that to go to work in a normal job, particularly in Barbados, and this is where we are right now, you can work hard all week and earn $300, $400, $500 a week, Barbados dollars. You have to, you know, for those American listeners, 500 Barbados, that is $250 US a week, when a sex worker in some instances can make that in 1 hour. Why on earth would you go to a normal job when you can make, this is how they think. We also have to look at how people, some people get into the sex industry because they fall through the cracks of society. Society has already failed them. They've already failed at the through the educational system. So they end up in our industry and they know that the only way to make that kind of money is through, you know, providing sexual services. There are also people who enjoy sex and enjoy offering sex for money. For the life of me, I can't understand why someone would enjoy having sex with a much older man who is probably greasy and smelly. I mean, you know, some of them don't really practice hygiene before they come to the bordello. How on earth can you enjoy that? But some women actually do. Some women enjoy it. They look forward to going to work every day or every night and plying their trade. and you can't sway them into another direction. This is what they do. They don't want to hear about anything else.
Let me ask a question. Someone that likes to have sex with someone who is old enough to be their grandfather and they're slimy and, like you just said, they don't practice the best hygiene. You would think that although the sex worker is saying, I like having sex and I like this particular employment, you have to think that that person is somewhat damaged, because you have to imagine that their sense of smell is active. It works. But you will have to assume that, you know, when certain bacteria kick up within us, it's a deterrent. It's an aversion to.
Yeah.
It's there. That bacteria is there and presents itself in a way to tell that person or anyone within that person's proximity, you need to take a shower, you need to brush your teeth, you need to wash your hair. It's telling you that. So for a prostitute to actually enjoy having an intimate moment, and I don't know if it's intimate when it comes to work, but having that close proximity with someone who does not practice good hygiene, and in that particular business, you can come away with AIDS, STD, you know, herpes, something that you cannot get rid of, and you will have to assume that someone enjoying that risk taking. Even okay, let's say it's not a prostitute. Let's say some people like jumping on a plane and they wait for the last minute second before they pull that parachute. Some people like that kind of rush, and if you were to look at it closely, maybe there's some mental issues.
Well, I mean, you know, you're very good at asking questions that have got five or six answers. So let me try to backtrack here. But let me first say that not all clients are smelly and lack hygiene, okay? Because I don't want any of my clients calling me after the show and complaining that I accuse them of lack of hygiene. Not all clients. It does happen, but it's not all clients. And, yes, there's got to be something wrong with a person who, in my opinion, who enjoys having sex with another person who has not practiced proper hygiene. But you know, it's not just in the sex industry. I mean, let's talk. People go to work in jobs that they don't like. They hate the boss. They hate their colleagues. But they do it. Is something wrong with them? I guess there is, because they have no choice and they continue to do it, even though it causes them to have psychological and personality disorders because of it, but they do it. So the same applies in our industry. We're no different.
I
do agree with you. There's got to be, you know, I personally don't see how someone could do that. If I were still working as a male escort, I would certainly explain the need to take better care of ourselves
next time
I meet her.
Charlie.
I would certainly have to do that.
Yeah, Charlie. Charlie, one second. Let me get in here. I am so happy that I have the opportunity to speak with you, because when you said what you just said, it is revolutionary, and it shouldn't be, but it creates the synapses in your brain just start to fire away, because you're saying something that is overlooked. You just said that some people go into jobs that they do not like. I have known people to pull up into the parking lot of their job and they sat behind their wheel crying, their heart palpitating, they're not happy, they're thinking, should I go back home, should I go? And they are not happy. And then after they do their prayer or whatever they do, they open up the door and they walk up those stairs because they know they need that money to pay the bills and blah, blah, blah. But it's a sickness and it's unhealthy. And when you hear about people dropping dead suddenly, it has to be that syndrome. It has to be that stress that you cannot smell it. It's, you know, you can't use your nose to smell that kind of stress. And it's just something that exists that is unseen and unnoticed. And then you drop dead, or then you hear you have high blood pressure, or then you hear you have heart problems. And it all stems from doing something that you don't really want to do. So I'm happy that I talked to you and we will be talking on Sundays, because people listening will be able to put one on one together and understand that it's not just about looking at a prostitute or a night person or a service provider and say, oh, that nasty, stinking, gutter rat, blah, blah, blah. Everyone If you look at it the way you just explained, if you look at life straight on, there's a thread that goes right through it.
That's right. Every job has its hazards and shortcomings. I mean, just imagine being a nurse at a hospital and you've got to attend to people with smelly wounds and smelly personal hygiene situations. So I think that we're not unique as sex workers because we have to put up with this from time to time. There is so much money that can be made in the industry that I can understand why people choose it, even though, you know, they, in their personal lives, when they go to a club or a bar or to the restaurant and they meet a man or a woman who is not their ideal soulmate, there's no way in hell they would allow that person to say hello to them. They would have all kinds of attitudes. They're not even going to bother with them. But yet, in their profession, whoever turns up as a client, in some instances, they have to go ahead and perform. And you talk about intimacy before. You wanted to know if there's intimacy. Well, in some cases, there is, because there are some clients who are actually very good-looking, very very hygienic, and great bodies, and there's sexual chemistry. There is real intimacy. I've known girls who would do anything to get certain clients to book them, because the guy is very good looking. He's wealthy. He's, you know, he dresses well, and he's good in bed. So it's not always a case where there's lack of intimacy. Now, where there's no natural or real intimacy, sex workers have a knack or an ability to fake it, and most clients know it's being faked. But you know, a client will pay money for someone who's a good actress or actor, because that's all part of the experience. I'm sorry, were you trying to say something?
No, I'm pretty quiet.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm here to dispel the myth that every sex worker was trafficked or experienced some type of abuse, particularly sexual abuse as a child or at some earlier stage of their development.
Let me ask you a question. I do want to ask a question now, and this is all prompted by what you are saying, Charlie.
Okay.
What do you think about making a housewife from a whore, or making a whore into a housewife? How does that work?
I'm going to use the word whore again, but I beg for forgiveness. All my colleagues out there, I don't use this normally in my work, but it's a common word. So there's an expression in the industry, in the sex industry, you can't turn a whore into a housewife. You can certainly turn a housewife into a whore, that is for sure. But you can't turn, in my opinion, a whore into a housewife. Many prostitutes or sex workers eventually end up in relationships, full-time relationships, or even marriages. But yet, that individual is always one foot in the marriage or the relationship and one foot in the industry, because she's always on the prowl. She's, you know, it's hard to take the tiger out of the jungle. And I've often found that if that husband slips just a little bit, she's going to say, fuck off, I'm back in the industry. Because you become somewhat disillusioned with relationships when you've been in the industry. I mean, you've met with so many different men, and most of them have got wives and girlfriends, and yet they're paying you top dollar to spend time with you. So you end up not having any, placing any value or any confidence in relationships. So how do you leave that lifestyle of being a sex worker and then go into a marriage with any degree of confidence or self-assurance that, you know, you can make it work or it can work? So that poses quite a bit of a challenge for sex workers, although they do it because society is so non-forgiving and unforgiving, I should say, that people feel a pressure to, when they leave, well, firstly, when they come into the industry, they come in and they assume an alias or a pseudonym, so that when they're finished, they can go back to their real name and go back to wherever they came from or some other state and start a new life.
I have a question.
No one knows that they were a prostitute, but you know that you're a prostitute.
I have a question.
It's very hard to take those thoughts and those concerns and those fears out of your psyche, and it can be one hell of a struggle for people to make that transition back into mainstream, because society itself, if they know that you were a prostitute or a sex worker, God help you, society will not accept you.
Okay, so, okay, it begs the question, and it's almost nonsensical, but here we are talking about the unforgiving nature of people, especially if you are in the sex industry, but our show and the epicenter of where we focus is Barbados. And Barbados is 2 miles by 2 miles. We know it's a very, very small island. And if you can say that people are unforgiving, why is it that almost everyone is doing dirt? And when I say doing dirt, if they're not buying a prostitute, they're horning their woman, horning their wife. We have already, this is not for this show, but we have already established that in almost every home and on every corner, there's a pedophile. So if society is so unforgiving, what is happening in Barbados?
Well, you find that the people who are doing dirt are the ones who would point the finger more so at sex workers, prostitutes, escorts, whatever, because it's known as deflection. It is known as, you know, you want to redirect the focus elsewhere. So you appoint, that's, you know, I every time someone has something negative to say about me and my industry, and I dig deep enough, I will always find out something about them that would cause me to say, so what the hell are you pointing fingers at me for? Who the hell are you? You know, when I'm ready for forgiveness, I know who to go to. I don't need forgiveness from anybody in Barbados or anyone in the world. I know where to go to when I want forgiveness. And sure as hell, it's not going to be any of these fuckers that have a point fingers at me. So I don't really need their opinions. So, but getting back to the dirt, yes, it's, let's go back a bit to the unforgiving nature of, you know, people talk about you should get into the industry, you should go to church, and you should get a decent job and so on. But yet, if you ever make what society considers the ultimate mistake to go into the sex industry, they will not let you back into mainstream. The moment they know, they will not. And yet, they condemn you for being there, but they're not going to do anything to welcome you back or help you to transition back into mainstream. And that is very unfortunate, certainly very ironic, but that is a fact, you know. So it's when you're in, you might as well stay in and milk the cow for as much money as you can get.
Yeah, but you haven't really addressed the question. And what I'm trying to say is, for a place as small as Barbados, and with everyone having dirt, what's the problem with prostitutes? What is their main concern if everyone can be? Like you said, I find, because you know that I get darts thrown at me every day, and anyone that throws a dart at me, when I ask my people, what do you know of this one? They say, no, this person did not say that about you. I say, yeah, what do you know? Well, this person did this, and this person did that, and this person, they are the ones that have the most skeletons in their closet, and they would dare to throw a dart at you. So, is a paradox, or is it something strange going on that cannot be explained? Because if you are within a civilization, a society, a community there that all can be pegged as having skeletons, what's the issue? What's the problem?
Well, you're right. I think that you know, if they want to use the biblical teachings and preachings to address people in the sex industry, so where's the forgiveness that comes out of the same biblical teachings? They don't have any forgiveness. And also, to most people in Barbados, because you want to go to the epicenter here, most people in Barbados who would probably point a finger at a sex worker and have something negative to say, they don't really have a problem with sex work. They don't really have a problem with it. As a matter of fact, many of them hide and do it themselves. They hide and go to strip clubs or go to brothels, or they would have someone over to their home or go to someone's home and pay for it. But as long as no one knows about it, it's okay. they don't really have a problem. They have a problem with people like myself who are open about it. Because I suppose it's a threat to their hypocrisy. They want us to hide and do our dirt like they do. They don't really have a problem with it. But it is convenient for them to point a finger because it's deflection. It deflects people's attention away from their possible dirt that they're hiding behind. So, you know, that's our society.
Hello?
Veronica. Hi, I'm wondering if I'm hearing Charlie. One sec, I want to make sure that Charlie is still on.
I can hear both of you, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, welcome into the studio, Coco. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
So, hello, Charlie, Coco. You can hear us, right?
I can hear you.
We're plenty. Yes. Hear each other.
That's right. Hello, Coco. How are you doing today?
I'm good. And you?
You know you should be in church today instead of talking on the show. You know that.
Bella, I had some fish to pick early this morning, so I had no time for church. I was giving some men some good blessings this morning. They had all the blessings they needed.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Well, I appreciate any comments you have based on what we discussed this morning. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, what the topic is, I don't know if you alluded to it yet, but like sex workers who enjoy what they do. Before I called in just now, I was on the phone talking to one of my friends, and we were talking about certain things, and I was telling him, in my life personally, like, I know what I want out of life, and I normally get what I want out of life, and I get it by doing what I do best. And what I do best is opening my cunt, I'm fucking with it, or opening my legs and using my large click to fuck men with and get exactly what I want. And I love that. When it comes to sex work, there's nothing about it that I find degrading. For me, it's very euphoric when I'm having a session with a client. I bring my best to the forum, this is the client, and I try to give that sort of girlfriend sort of experience. But for me, it has never been, I'm doing something that I'm going to regret, or I have to take drugs or what's not to feel happier, or to just get through that particular session or what's not with my client.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that if you spoke with 10 or 100 different sex workers, escorts, you know, you can get 100 different answers why they do it and how they survive the experience. Because everybody's got their own individual driver or basis or you know, motivation for doing it. So it's interesting what you said, and I'm glad that you're reinforcing the fact that not everybody is forced into this, not everyone is trafficked into this, and not everyone has been sexually abused as a, you know.
So as only that, like, I mean, it also goes down to people's educational level and what's not. Like, a lot of people, people that follow my Instagram, they know how educated I am. I have a master's and I also have a PhD. And people go like, why if you have a PhD and you're supposed to be called a doctor, like, why don't you do something with your life? And I was like, I am doing something with my life. I'm doing what I enjoy. I went to school based on the fact that my dad grew up poor and he instilled in me and my sister that education was the way to go. So, like, I was always driven to, like, okay, the next level, I have my bachelor's, the next level, the master's, I have my master's, the next level was doing the PhD. And I attained that. And after I attained that, I started working for government and what's not. And it just wasn't me. And then I found my true calling, which is entertaining individuals, and I love it. I absolutely, absolutely love it. It's something that I'm not gonna stop. Maybe I have to retire and look at it as more of a like what Charlie does. Like, Charlie has his people and he sends them out and what's not. I might have to go into that later on in life because I don't believe this bag of grapes are gonna stand juicy forever. I think grapes are starting to get deflated, so I'm gonna have to look into that other side of it. But for right now, I do enjoy it and I love what I do.
Yes, to each his own, and I think that we need to become a more inclusive society. I think all this judgmental bullshit has got to go out the window. People have just got to accept people for what they are, what they do, and just live. I mean, live and let live. My God, I don't. All this judgmental crap that we experience in Barbados, you know. Another thing, too, you talked about education, and there are so many individuals like yourself who are putting themselves through university as while doing stripping at clubs or an escort with an escort agency or privately, and in the open markets, in the international markets, they're not afraid to tell you that. Some people say, I'm a stripper, but I'm studying law.
I'm studying accounts, I'm studying this. And they will migrate from stripping and go on to being a lawyer. And many of them find that they're not making as much money as the lawyer did when they were stripping, and they come back to stripping. It's a conscious decision, and I think we should all be allowed to decide.
Not only that, but you have to look at the societies in which these individuals live in. They don't really live in closed-minded, small island mentality countries like what we have in the Caribbean or what's not, where we have this pretense, as a naive pretense, delusion, where we are also Christian and everything, which we really aren't, because majority of the individuals, they don't live Christian lives. If they live by the philosophy of what they consider the Bible and what the Bible says, but it is a security mechanism to say, oh, we're a Christian nation and this and that, and this don't happen or what's not. I know a lot of people don't believe that men come and sleep with me. They think that I'd be telling lies if I say men sleep with trannies and what's not. They think that that is a concept that cannot even be constructed because it is happening in Barbados. They would say if I was in America, they would believe that. If I was in Europe, they would believe it. But because I say these things happen here, all of a sudden Coco's a liar and Coco's this and Coco's that and Coco's the third, which really doesn't do one fuck to me, because if I don't give one fuck about you, I don't know how I can give two fucks. But it has to go back to the region we live in and the small island mentality, as they call it, that people in the Caribbean usually have. You might have those few individuals who would have traveled and what's not and being exposed to different cultures and different belief systems, so their minds are so twar and so wrapped in this whole spiritual or Christianity ideology that we might have. And they have that experience to dwell on. But yeah, what you have is most of the times individuals who have not experienced the outside world, they just keep in their small mind, they're thinking.
You know, that finger pointing and the judgmental attitudes that agents have, it's not just directed at sex workers. No. They do it to themselves or to people who are not in the sex industry as well. We have this crab in the bucket mentality where we pull other people down regardless of the profession. So you don't have to be a sex worker for agents to pull you down. They will find the worst things about you to point fingers against and talk about you on the basis of. So you don't really have to be a sex. Sex workers perhaps get a bit more the treatment that is a bit more harsh, but you don't have to be a sex worker. This is all mentality. And then they leave and go overseas, like you said, and they indulge in whatever, and then come back here and back to the judgmental attitude again. What's up with all of that?
Well, it's just a society as far as it's just how we have been programmed or prepositioned. That's what I think it is.
And if they want us to take them seriously, when they condemn us for what we do, if they want us to take them seriously, then they should be upstanding citizens. How on earth can you be pointing fingers at me or you or anyone else in the industry, and then you're doing your dirt? I mean, how dare you? I mean, you want to tell me shit? Well, you be upstanding and then come and talk to me.
Yeah, but one thing I find I don't do, I don't argue with Bible-thumping, shellfish-eating individuals, because first, I have a whole contradiction of themselves if they used to read the Bible, because they like to pick and choose the Bible, so I pick and choose them. So when you get those sort of in-depth Christians, holy Bible-thumping people, I just don't even have to have conversations with them, because I heard they say you can't change the leper spot, you can't change the dumb from being dumb or the ignorant from being ignorant. Them is two things you just can't change.
Yeah. Veronica?
Yes, ma'am.
You're very silent.
Because I love listening to you.
Anyways, Veronica, I have to run.
Okay.
I will show
you next week. Okay, thank you.
All right. Have a good day. You take care. Okay, thank you. Yes. Now, interesting discussion, Veronica.
Yes.
Coco can certainly speak her mind.
Yes. Yes.
That's good. That is good. Okay, yeah, so getting back to the topic of the conversation, not all people are trafficked, not all people are forced into the industry, although that does happen. Someday we need to talk about the human trafficking and the statistics and so on, and how I feel about those statistics,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that they're blown sky high deliberately to justify the funding that they're getting from these governmental organizations, and so this, the industry
10 seconds. We have 10 seconds.
Economy, that the whole world tolerates it, and they in a subliminal.
Thank you so very much, Charlie. We have to continue this next Sunday. Next Sunday with Charlie Spice. Please join us then. Thank you so very much, and have a great Sunday. Bye-bye.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the links. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.